The rise of the KGB and the Pink Inquisition. As we seek to apply the Lordship Christ to all areas of life and be faithful witnesses in Africa, we are faced by a new phenomenon. It's the gay agenda. Now, this looks balakalik ridiculous, but this is the kind of Pink Pride Amsterdam ad for KLM, which used to be a great airline. It doesn't matter who you click with. Really? I mean, is this a joke? There's only one of those three combinations that's going to work. The others won't work. Do you think you could be on the airline and say, well, I choose to rather do the top two options rather than the bottom one? They won't allow that. You have to have your seatbelts securely fastened. It'll only work one way. So, you know, honestly, what is this meant to prove? I think it disproves their own point. And as for this stupid advert as well, well, only one of those three options is going to work. It's not hate speech, it's just science. And really and truly, when are they going to get their act together? You know, straight pride makes more sense than gay pride because it's natural, it's worked for 1,000 years, and you can actually make babies, which, of course, the other guys can't. Old Barack Hussein Obama, who's claimed as the first gay president of America, and he launched all sorts of nonsense. His first thing was to bring down the Confederate flag. The next thing was to raise up the rainbow flag representing not Noah and God's judgment on the flood, but representing the rebellion of the LGBTQRS whatever plus at infinity crowd. And he lit up the White House in the so-called gay colors, or the rainbow of rebellion, I should say. And under Barack Hussein Obama, they encouraged such a groundswell of pressure and propaganda, even in churches, that they ultimately found a whole lot willing to go the whole apostate route and legalize homosexual marriage in America. For their look on their faces bears witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them, for they've brought evil upon themselves. This is the kind of creep they had outside the Supreme Court in America trying to intimidate the justice to legalize homosexual so-called unions. I bet hell is fabulous. Well, I'll bet it isn't. But this is the kind of attitude. You can see it. This is not just pro-gay. This is anti-God, anti-Christ mentality. Patrick Buchanan, one of the finest historians and authors in America today, has written about the death of the West and the suicide of a superpower. And when you start going into celebrating evil, that is rotting the very foundations of the pillars of any society. So when the US Supreme Court redefined marriage, did that really matter? With the American Supreme Court's decision and the extraordinary pressure to redefine marriage and accommodate demands of gay activists for homosexual unions to be accepted as marriage, many were asking, well, what difference does it make? People said the same thing in South Africa when, in 2005, our government here snuck through homosexual unions at the end of November 2005. Well, in 2001, Africa Christian Action published a landmark book, The Pink Agenda, Sexual Revolution and the Ruin of the Family in South Africa, warning that the agenda was to work towards homosexual marriages. Now, Christine McCafferty, one of our workers in ACA, worked on this book. She came to me and said, Peter, we need to do a book on the homosexual agenda. And I sort of hung my head and thought, we've got enough enemies. Do we really need to tackle this one as well? And I've really got a filing cabinet at that stage of death threats and hate mail. So I started realizing this would really exponentially increase the hate mail. I had no idea it was going to be far, far, far worse than anything I'd anticipated. This is the most vicious enemy we've ever faced. I thought fighting communism was serious. I thought fighting radical Islamic jihad was serious. I thought fighting the homosexual lobby and the pimps was serious. But the gay agenda, they must be the most wicked, evil, vicious foes we have ever tackled. Never come across anything like it. You know, forget this limp wrist that I'll hit you with my handbag and stab you with my lipstick stuff. Nothing like it. I mean, we're talking about really vile. When she wanted the book published, she finally asked me if I could do a couple of chapters and wanted to put my name on the cover. And I was like, you don't need to put my name on the cover. No, she says it's got name recognition, it'll sell more books. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be associated with this book. And sure enough, she got the book published and then went to England and then went to Australia. And I was left to face the music and all the hate mail and so on that came from that. It was a good book, though. At that time, the gay community vigorously denied that their plan was homosexual marriage. Of course you don't want to legalize homosexual marriage. But Christine documented their own websites, their own literature, their own manifestos all said that's where they were going. And we warned. Although they said, don't be ridiculous, nobody's asking for homosexual marriage. That was 2001 and so on. Well, they claimed that their agenda was just to have the same rights as the rest of society and to be treated with respect. Well, they already had that. I mean, nobody is stopping them owning property, voting, and so on. I mean, really, what rights did homosexuals not have? They weren't after gay rights, they were after privileges for perverts. These are just a sampling of some of the hate mail out there. This was published in the Burger and the Argus and so on. Homophobic bigots, the Babel Smokalasach agenda from the Burger. And, oh my, the garbage they put on is hate speech defies this quasi-science. And anyway, I was attacked, front page newspaper. You drive down Milner Road and there'd be newspaper posters there attacking me for this. And I'm, thanks, Christine. I really needed a few more enemies. Well, the Pink Agenda documents from the homosexuals' own writings. They have a radical social engineering project, not merely to have the deviant declared normal, but to have the normal declared deviant. And if that sounded a bit radical when we wrote that 21 years ago, we can see it now. They don't just want tolerance. They don't just want approval. They want applause. And they want conformity. And they want funding. And they want access to your children in the schools to brainwash them and groom them and recruit them for their agenda. The stated goal of the radical homosexuals is to force all of society, beginning in primary schools, to conform to their sexual deviancy. Now, when we said that 21 years ago, people were laughing us off, don't be ridiculous. But now you can see. Now you can have teachers fired for resisting the homosexual grooming of kids in primary school. Pre-primary school, even. In fact, what is it that Governor DeSantis in Florida's got into trouble over? Try to bring out legislation to protect those under grade 5 from being groomed with homosexual propaganda and perversion. Isn't that right? Grade 5? Seriously? And Disney World decided to declare war on the voters of Florida because they had the audacity to try and protect grade 5s and under from their vile, perverse propaganda. Now, the rainbow is a symbol of God's promise, not a symbol of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a bit of a pain that they've taken a lovely picture and they've tried to hijack it. And this is the way they portray it. Now this, if you know American photographic history, this is looking back to the taking of Okinawa and raising the American flag, the Marines and so on. And in fact, this is recalling a beautiful monument to the Marines in Washington, D.C., which I've seen. Actually, it's in Virginia, just across the Potomac from Washington. But this is the way the gays see it. So, take God's symbol from the last time he destroyed the earth and wave it around as a symbol of your sin. Great idea. What do they really think they're doing? Bear in mind, the flood reminds us when God judged the entire earth and wiped out every single human being with the exception of eight. Only eight people and thousands of animals survived the flood in Noah's Ark. The rest were wiped out. That's what God thinks about the sins and the wickedness of mankind. It's not a good idea to play around with rebellion. Our good friends of Answering Genesis, Ken Ham, and his people have said, we reclaim the rainbow. Perverts don't own the rainbow. The rainbow is forever attached to God's covenant and promise given to Noah and his descendants. And so they're trying to take the rainbow back, which is a good idea. Remind people, gay pride is why Sodom got fried. Pride is a bad thing anyway. Pride comes before fall. But, pervert pride is even worse than just normal pride. At the time, the homosexual community denied that they had any intention to attack the traditional family and attempt to redefine the basic building block society. No, of course, they weren't trying to interfere with Christian marriage, they said. Now the homosexual agenda is plain for all to see. Plain. Now we're seeing the rise of the gay GB and a new inquisition, a pink inquisition. Support your thought police, gay GB through... Support your local gay GB thought police. Closed mind, stop thought crimes. Report those who think for themselves or quote from the Bible. By the way, this is of the KGB symbol. You'll see in the cabinets here I've got an actual KGB badge, a real one, not a replica. And we just slightly modified it to reflect the new gay GB. So KGB was the secret police of the Soviet Union, a vicious persecutor of Christians who opposed communism. This is the original sign of the Cheka. Well, the Cheka actually is even before this. This is the NKVD, which followed the Cheka, which is the ancestor of the KGB. Millions of Christians were investigated, interrogated, tortured, imprisoned, and murdered for failing to comply with political party orders or for failing to pay homage to the dictator of the Soviet Union at the time, Joseph Stalin. 50 million people in the Soviet Union were sent to freeze or starve to death in the 1,200 concentration camps of Siberia, death camps, Arctic hellholes, the Gulag. We have very few pictures of it because it was hidden away, but vast amounts of the Soviet Union were given over to being these slave labor camps in Siberia, Arctic hellholes, salt mines, and all that sort of thing. Unimaginable evil, and most people can't even imagine it or believe it's even real because I haven't seen any big Hollywood films on it. Oh, well, then it can't exist, can it? It can make thousands of films of fictional concentration camps, but they can't make any on the real ones where they've murdered tens of millions of Christians over the years. Because Hollywood kind of loves the people who murder Christians. The KGB also used active measures. Disinformation to discredit critics and to undermine enemies of the Soviet state. They actually had a department of active measures and a department of disinformation. So today, homosexual activist bullies are the gay GB. They're the residing KGB of the West. They're a force of radical homosexuals, or should I say homosexualists, whose aim seems to be to desensitize, to intimidate, to silence, and prosecute Christians for beliefs on morality and marriage. All over the world, Christians are being targeted, bullied, and prosecuted for believing what the Bible teaches about the institution of marriage, sexuality, and the family. People have been fired from their positions as professors of universities for saying something like, well, there's only two genders. Or, well, marriage can only be between a man and a woman. For that hideous thought crime, how dare they think or say such thing? People have been kicked out of jail, people have been prosecuted, all sorts of things have happened to them. Here we highlight just a few of the serious cases in South Africa and Sweden, Germany, United Kingdom, America, and Canada, just a few selections of Christians harassed, prosecuted for expressing their thoughts and beliefs about homosexuality. It's reminiscent of George Orwell's 1984 book, where ignorance is strength and war is peace, and the thought police. So, in 2015, the Constitutional Court heard arguments on whether Ecclesia de Lange, the lesbian minister who serves as an ordained minister of the Methodist Church of South Africa, was discontinued by a denomination following her announcement she was getting married to a same-sex partner. So she is getting leave of appeal, and this was important because the Supreme Court's decision was that courts should not get entangled in doctrinal disputes in local churches and denominations. And I don't know if you'd want to employ a person like this as your minister. Should leave to appeal have been granted, it would have been a watershed case for religious freedom and the autonomy of the church in South Africa. Should the Constitutional Court have ultimately found against the denomination, it would have meant that the courts and the government commissions could in future declare to churches what they may or may not believe and how they should be governed and who they can employ as a minister or youth leader or choir leader or anything like that. Then University of Cape Town, Sodom on the hillside, just up the road here. A student representative council leader was suspended from the SRC in June 2015 for expressing her biblical views on a personal Facebook page. Zizipo Pei, final year economics and statistical student and vice president of the Student Representative Council at GCT, joined millions of people around the world in posting opinion on a Facebook page in response to the US Supreme Court's ruling that same-sex marriages could be legalized in all 50 states in America. She wrote, "We are institutionalizing and normalizing sin. God have mercy on us." What a horrible thing for her to have said. She destroys to have her life destroyed for that Facebook post, doesn't she? The backlash to her brief post went beyond irrational. Homosexual activists at UCT launched a vicious tirade of hate and intimidation against her that defies description. Ironically, the attackers demanded tolerance! Why can't you be tolerant like us? Yeah. Homosexual pornography, the most depraved anti-Christian blasphemy, was posted on her Facebook page. She was also personally threatened, insulted, vilified in the most despicable ways. Her Student Representative Council office was trashed. Scriptures on her office wall were ripped off and stomped on. Semi-naked homosexual activists photographed themselves in her office in lewd poses. And despite the awful abuse and intimidation of Zizi, the UCT management repeatedly and publicly expressed the commitment to protect LGBTQI rights. But no intention of protecting the rights of Christians like Zizi. UCT management apparently took no action against those who perpetrate the harassment and criminal attacks on her and the vandalism of her office, but they suspended her for her biblical convictions. Does that make any sense to anyone? This is blatant, outrageous, anti-Christian discrimination. Homosexual students and every other group were allowed to freely express their views and opinions on UCT campus. Still are. But Christians do not seem to enjoy the same rights or respect at the University of Cape Town, or University of Communist Terrorism, as some might call it. UCT demanded Zizi retract and apologize for a biblical statement. She could not, in good conscience, do so. Now, UCT could publish sex appeal, which is normally blasphemous and pathetic, top 10 atheist retorts to fundamental Christians, for example, and all kinds of horrible, horrible anti-Christian, like here, anti-Reverend Kenneth Mesh of ACDP cartoons in the sex appeal. So UCT's got a gay GB presence, very strongly active, and they will deal with any thought crimes of those who are dissident. Take some poor guest owners targeted out in Wolseley. They were hauled before the Equality Court in Belleville for choosing not to host a gay couple in what, let's face it, is their home. B&Bs, bread and breakfast, are part of a person's home. And they chose not to take these two homosexual perverts into their home. And next thing you know, they're being hauled before the SA Human Rights Commission following a complaint by this gay couple. Now, they pointed out to them several other B&Bs that would be happy to receive them. They referred them to others down the road and so on. But no, these guys wanted to stay in the House of Bread, which, can you guess whether these people are Christians or not? You know, but Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." You can tell this is a Christian B&B. No, they want to stay in this Christian B&B. This has got nothing to do with freedom of choice or what. There were all kinds of B&Bs all over Wolseley they could have chosen, but no, they had to choose this one. In court, the magistrate pointed out that the facts as agreed by both parties, it was clear that the Christian owners already, on a previous occasion, when the issue first arose, before any legal proceedings were instituted against them, were desirous to amicably resolve the matter. They were happy to speak to people, happy to deal with whatever needs to be done, but the homosexual couple were not interested in mediation. They were not interested in communication or reconciliation. They wanted litigation. And so the Equality Court in Belleville ruled that in the interest of the parties, in the interest of justice, the disputes must be settled between the people concerned without coming to court. So thankfully the magistrate threw the case out. Just as well. If there had been a ruling in favour of the homosexual couple, it would have set a very negative precedent for Christians taking a stand on biblical convictions for homosexuality. Freedom of association is at stake. Thankfully, our courts in South Africa have still gone the side of freedom of association as well. But they would have been forced to donate money to a homosexual lobby group if it had come to court as the homosexualists wanted. Now take the Bloemfontein Christian Training Centre, which the South African Human Rights Commission said was violating gay rights. So a Christian arts training centre in Bloemfontein was found guilty of human rights violations for discriminating against homosexuals. This is back in 2014. The SAHRC recommend that the Prayer Training Center amend its constitution to accommodate diversity and attend sensitization workshops conducted by the Institute for Social Justice and Reconciliation Studies at the University of the Free State in collaboration with the Southern Council of Churches, which is not known to be very orthodox when it comes to biblical beliefs and practice. So the Department of Justice ordered the South African Human Rights Commission to investigate the alleged anti-homosexual discrimination at this Christian center following media reports that it claimed in its prospectus that it could cure gay students and if they refused treatment, they could be expelled. Now, the center responded by publishing a statement on its website saying it didn't discriminate against anyone, offered a wide range of part-time courses to students irrespective of race, religion, or sexual orientation. The students considering its full-time Bible school course, which accounts for less than 0.5% of its student component, are required to commit to pursuing a biblical lifestyle which includes heterosexual views on human sexuality and abstinence before marriage, faithfulness within marriage, and so on. Basic, you know, marriage can be between one man, one woman. That's just those going for the biblical studies. Now, the other ones don't have that requirement, but let's face it, if you're studying for accountancy or law or medicine, there are certain ethical requirements within those disciplines. It's not just academics. And when it comes to biblical studies, you think there's an ethical dimension too. Well, according to its policy statement, the center is available to offer ministry support in the form of biblical teaching, prayer and encouragement to students who want to change their sexual orientation. The person comes, I'm grieved by this perversion in my life, I want to break free of it, and they will counsel and help them out of it. But that's apparently not allowed. Then Neil Clark Warren, the Christian founder of a popular dating site, eHarmony, was sued by homosexual men because his website did not provide for homosexual dating. Now, there were homosexual dating websites, but he wanted this Christian to have a homosexual dating site on his eHarmony. So Warren was ordered by the New Jersey Attorney General to create a dating site for homosexuals, and if he refused, he would not be allowed to operate in the state at all. Then you get the poor Kleins, Aaron and Melissa Klein. Oh my, and this battle's still going on. The Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries ruled that Aaron and Melissa Klein, the Christian owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, violated civil rights laws when they refused to design a cake for a lesbian wedding. They were fined $135,000 for compensatory damages for emotional, mental, and physical suffering because they would not design a cake for these people. Now, understand, if the homosexuals wanted to buy a cake in their shop, they could. They served them, they sold cakes. They were being asked to design a homosexual-themed cake, and they refused to use their creative abilities to promote something that they don't support. So it's not that they wouldn't serve homosexuals. It's not that they wouldn't sell cakes to homosexuals. It's that they refused to design a specific homosexual-themed cake for this group. They did refer them to other bakers who wouldn't mind doing it, by the way. They were also slapped with a gag order prohibiting them from speaking publicly about the refusal to participate in or engage or design wedding cakes for same-sex unions. They've tried to destroy these people's lives. This battle's still going on 9 years later. Sweet Cakes for Melissa has been closed. It's not operating. It used to employ people. It hasn't been able to. It's still fighting legal battles in Oregon with lots of hate-filled demonstrators outside. I mean, bake the cake! Call in the police, get truncheon. And another baker was also targeted in Colorado. Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver, he violated anti-discriminatory laws when he refused to design a cake for a so-called homosexual wedding. And again, he would sell him cakes, he'd serve them, but he wouldn't design a homosexual-themed cake. You know, basically it's like, get the state to put a gun to people's heads and bake my cake. Why don't they go to another baker down the road? New Mexico Supreme Court ruled that two Christian photographers, Elaine and Jonathan Huguenin, declined to provide their services for a homosexual union ceremony that they violated the state's Human Rights Act. Now, they're not the only photographers in the state, by the way. There were other options that these characters could have gone to get their photography, but they wanted this expressly Christian photographer to. So you can see the whole purpose is deliberately designed to entrap and to harass Christians. The Washington State Attorney General filed a lawsuit against Baronella Stutzman, the owner of Arlene's Flowers and Gifts, when she refused to provide flowers for a homosexual wedding. And as she said, everything I have is Christ, so if he wants me to go under, then I will go under. Little by little, they're stripping us of any thought we might have, of any difference of opinion. This is our religious freedom at stake. So she refused to bow to the gay GB pink inquisition and is being prosecuted as a result. Christian florists are being viciously prosecuted out of business for preferring not to accept a contract to provide flowers for homosexual weddings, so-called. In Iowa, Dick and Betty Odgard, the Mennonite Christian owners of Gort's House, an art gallery and bistro located in a former church building, refused to give a homosexual couple permission to hold their marriage ceremony at their location. I mean, it's their location. Why should they be forced to have something they disagree with? It just doesn't make sense. It's not like there weren't a few other wedding venue options in the state. The odd gods received threatening phone calls, emails from angry homosexuals, and the pending complaint to the Iowa Civil Rights Commission could cause them to shut down. Closed minds stop thought crimes. Then a homosexual activist walked into Family Research Council headquarters in Washington, which was founded by folks in the family under James Dobson, to affect policy in a Christian direction at Washington, D.C. He said, "I don't like your politics," and he opened fire on the security guard. Despite being shot in the arm, the security guard managed to wrench the gun away before anyone else was hurt. Otherwise, in Colorado also about that time, and saw the bullet holes in the ceiling and around the walls in Folks and the Family's main headquarters in their lobby, which is where James Dobson was at that time, and some homosexual activists burst in there firing wildly to attack the Folks and Family headquarters. James Dobson at that time had a six-man detail for security. He had so many death threats, multiple death threats a week, and he would have at least two on duty around him on eight-hour shifts through the day, so he had six full-time bodyguards looking after him because of the death threats from the homosexual activists. The 28-year-old terrorist Floyd Lee Corkins said in a videotaped confession he hoped his atrocity would make a statement against the people who work in that building with his stance against gay rights, or privileges for perverts, I think. Then there's these Christian owners of a bed and breakfast, Cormova House in Cornwall, England. And Hazel Mary and Peter Bull received death threats and were sued after refusing to provide lodging for a homosexual couple. They're not the only B&B in Cornwall. After a legal trial resulted in them having to pay $6,000 in fines, they decided to close down their business. So another business down simply because they wouldn't bow to the gay GB. Ash's Baking Company in Belfast, North Ireland, appealed a ruling which said that their business had broken the law by declining to decorate a cake with pro-gay marriage campaign slogan. They wanted them to produce something like this for the Smurfs or... What are these guys? Sorry? I've forgotten. Sesame Street, Muppets, something like that. Anyway, but they support gay marriage. I don't know if they do, but Ash's Bakery declined. This is the homosexual activist, very smug with himself, who brought the lawsuit case because while there were lots of bakers he could have gone to, he chose to go to this Christian baker's and they wouldn't take it. And this is the evil, horrible, hate-filled Christian family that need to be destroyed because they wouldn't fall for this gay GB trick. The MacArthur family own and run Ashes said they could not fulfill the order because conflict with their Christian convictions about marriage can only be between a man and a woman. And so Judge Brownlee ruled that the Ashes Baking Company broke sexual orientation and political discriminatory laws. This in Northern Ireland, which is a bastion of Protestant faith. The bakery is taken to court by the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland. Well, Daniel MacArthur was very brave and stood firm. And his wife, they stood against all this through pregnancy. I mean, they fought this battle for years. I might say they've won the case finally, after ultimate appeals. But The attempt to destroy this family and this business was huge. Again, an example of the KGB in action. Harry Hammond, a Christian pensioner in England, was convicted under public order laws for saying homosexuality was immoral. Now, he's 69 years at the time. He was preaching in a town centre holding a sign bearing the words, "Jesus gives peace, Jesus is alive, stop immorality, stop homosexuality, stop lesbianism, Jesus is Lord." Well, what more do you need to say? Doesn't he deserve to have his life destroyed as well? The crowd of around 40 people who disagreed with him in his preaching forced him to the ground, but some people poured mud and water on him. This is a 69-year-old pensioner. When two police officers eventually turned up at the scene, it was the evangelist who was arrested and charged. No violent members of the crowd who had abused him were arrested. This poor man, Harry Hammond, died the following year without justice being seen in this case. In 2005, Christian pensioners in England, Joe and Helen Roberts, were subjected to an 80-minute interrogation by the British police because they had expressed opposition to their local council spending their public money, their taxes, on gay rights projects. And no criminal offence was committed, yet the police refused to apologise for the intimidation of people over their opinions. Why? What was the evil suggestion? They wanted some Christian literature displayed next to the pro-homosexual literature at the municipality office. In 1998, when the House of Lords in England voted against reducing the homosexual age of consent to legalise paedophilia effectively, gay rights activists outside Parliament became violent. They scuffled with the police, they jumped barricades, they tried to confront peers. Archbishop Donald Kogan was insulted, jostled and threatened for his pro-family views. And Christian campaigner Berenice Young had to be protected by the police from these of the tolerance crowd. A Swedish pastor, Reverend Acker Green, was arrested and charged with inviting hatred against homosexuals after a sermon where he urged Christians to show the homosexuals deep respect and offer them the grace of Jesus Christ. What a horrible thing to have said. And so he called sexual immorality, including homosexuality, a cancerous growth in society. He's convicted and sentenced to 1 month in jail. However, the Swedish Supreme Court later acquitted him on appeal after an international outcry. Adoption agencies are being targeted for preferring to place children for adoption in homes with a husband and a wife rather than with homosexual living lovers. By the way, the Exhibit A of homosexual unions in New Zealand was a two male couple characters who adopted some little kid. And it was big newspapers and celebrating them and so on and love triumphs. And, well, it wasn't a few years later then this poor kid came out of how he was being sexually abused, not just by these two homosexual perverts, but hired out to a whole bunch of other homos. Now, if this child's life is being destroyed, newspapers in New Zealand were pretty quiet about the scandal, but they'd lifted him up as Exhibit A, front page example of a loving example of homosexual couples and why you should allow them to adopt kids. Well, it's certain that paedophilia, abuse of children, is vastly more common amongst the homosexual community, disproportionately, exponentially more common. And so it's understandable how adoption agencies would be careful who they entrust children for adoption or fostering to. By the way, in most of Eastern Europe, including Russia, they now have laws forbidding any Westerner adopting any of their children. And the reason is because the Western agencies won't give a guarantee that the children will only be placed with heterosexual couples. And so on the basis of, that's what they've now got, we won't allow American, British or so on adoption of Russian children, Russian orphans and so on, because they might end up in the hands of homosexual couples. In fact, the odds are that they will now. This preference has been given to homosexual couples adopting children. Now, bear in mind, there's a strong possibility in these cases that the children will be abused. But obviously, the best interest of the child is not as important as a political statement being made. People have been fired from their jobs for having a different opinion. Teachers have been kicked out of schools. Homosexual agenda has taken on the role of bullying inquisition. The Vienna coffee house owner was actually asked an indecent lesbian couple to leave the premises. They were being disruptive and making other customers uncomfortable. Well, angry gay lobby launched a mob campaign. A Romanian TV star who spoke out against gay agenda was slammed publicly and targeted by hideous inquisition. And so you see, the gay GB are using the different religions to beat to death what used to be Christian civilization. Indeed, they are worthy successors of the NKVD, the Cheka, and the KGB. Closed minds stop thought crimes. Remember, hate crime requires thought police. And of course, there's a lot of cyberbullying now. A person just sharing scripture can get into trouble. I mean, saying something as simple as there's only two genders can get you into serious trouble. They ignore things like this, where you get some homosexual who rapes, tortures, and murders a 13-year-old. That's not news. That's not a hate crime, by the way. Because a homosexual did it. So nothing to see here. Keep moving. Here's a street preacher beaten up for having statements like marriage always one man, one woman. In divorce, husband, wives love and respect each other. Again, hate speech, thought crime, beaten up. So liberal logic is that liberals want to create an entirely new social construct out of thin air, force people to endorse it, and harass, intimidate, and bully anyone who objects. They're loving. Whereas Christians who want to maintain a positive, beneficial social contract that's been in existence for most of recorded human history, thousands of years, hateful. Now, if a homosexual was hungry, would I offer him food? Yes. If he was hurt, would I assist him and seek medical help? Yes. If he needed shelter, would I offer them a safe place? Yes. If they were lost, would I help them find a way? Yes. If they're broken down on the side of the road, would you help a homosexual offer assistance, get them going there? Yes, we would. And we have. If they were drowning, would we try and rescue them? Yes, we would. They want us to bake a cake for the gay wedding? No. That's not hate action. That's just basic conviction. Can I expect some atheist to produce a God-honoring hymn or something? Is that even rational? Now, whole countries are now being bullied by the US State Department and the European Union to decriminalize homosexual activity. Foreign aid is being withdrawn. Political pressure is being exerted in countries like Malawi and Uganda and Nigeria for them having laws upholding traditional marriage. And I could carry on with some other examples, but let's stop there for questions. You can see the theme. We have a gay GB, pink inquisition around the world, a bunch of new bullies, and how do we respond? Comments, objections, thoughts, feedback?
Interesting fact. Basically, with the technology nowadays, you can actually, gay couples and lesbian couples actually get children now, but it's not a real, like they're actually using, so they take like the sperm of a donor and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And the technology is scary, because that's what it's wrong. And they can now say, no, but you know, you have kids.
They can. In fact, genetic modification is coming. They're talking about all sorts of eugenics, where you can specify exactly what type of kid you want, and eye color, and this and that, and texture of hair, and you can, they can all sorts of meddling with, and you wonder what Frankenstein's going to come out of this, having some biologist fiddling around in test tubes and meddling with DNA. Next thing, they could start adding an AI, and you get artificial intelligence added, and you could have some monsters created. Nobody knows where this can go, but it's open for abuse. And here's the other thing. They are now, in places like China, harvesting organs. And my son, CRISPR, needed a kidney transplant. I was first in line, but they excluded me for some issues. Boy, sheets and sheets and sheets of diseases I've had. My wife donated her kidney. But while people have to wait for years to get a kidney normally, or liver, heart, you can go to China and get one immediately if you've got enough money. Because in China, and they do tens of thousands of organ transplants a year, many more. But you don't have to wait a bit. Why? They just harvest them out of some normally Christian in a local concentration camp. They don't bother to sew up the donor because he doesn't need to survive. And they're literally harvesting. And so people from the West with a lot of money go to China and they get these organ transplants. And of course they pay a lot, but they don't have to wait. And it's so next step is, what about them actually creating by DNA and so on, a whole lot of creatures who are just there for harvesting organs when people need kidney, heart, liver, whatever, brain transplant. Liberals might need that. Can you imagine where this can go? The fact that you can literally start harvesting. There have been cases of people where a child needed a kidney or someone, where they had another child to harvest a kidney from that child that would match their earlier child. How can a child give consent? And this is, we're talking about young. This sort of thing's happening. I mean, the bioethics on the go right now is horrific. But it starts with meddling with basically, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. And God created man, male and female, he created them. Only seem to be two genders mentioned in the Bible. Funny thing is, you know that Amazon sells t-shirts. There are more than two genders. And then you can order the male or the female. They've only got two genders on the order form for there's more than two genders t-shirt. I don't know, it just seems a bit funny to me. Any other comments? Questions? Yes.
So how would you fight back against this?
Right, so what we did is we produced the gay gender book. In fact, now we've got it. Where is our... we've got our a gay GB book. I've got a... Well, the pink agenda is what we produced, but now we've updated to the gay GB, the rise of gay GB and the pink agenda. you will see on page 21 of your Biblical Worldview Summit, I've got the notes of what I've just given you in there. So in your Biblical Worldview Summit manual. And then if you turn to about page 25, 26, you'll see a picture of the gay GB, rise of the gay GB and the pink inquisition book, which we stocked downstairs. So we've produced the books. And by the way, when we brought out the Pink Agenda book and it got banned, we had 100 radio and TV and newspaper interviews in the next 4 months. It was phenomenal because they banned it. First book in the new South Africa to get banned since 94. And so it was a lot of news and we got so much media interviews, you just, you know, head spin. For 4 months it was non-stop. And we talk about national TV, radio, front page newspapers and so on. Lots of hate mail, lots of death threats. But it meant we sold thousands of these books. So how do we beat it? Education, information, and the ultimate acts of resistance. Be straight. Get married. Have lots of children. That's serious resistance. I mean, that's how we beat them. Because honestly, they're going to die out. That's why they need to groom and recruit. Because, yeah, they can't have children, can they? But they can steal them. That's what they're trying to do through the media and the schools.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I just noticed with the adoption. I wasn't aware that the fact that they can't have children, obviously, unless they get a donor or something now, but a male and a male, I assume.
It doesn't matter who you click with, but... But yes, but those things don't work, do they?
But they obviously then, if they want children, they have to adopt.
Yes. Which is why the Russian government got so concerned that American perverts are coming to Russia adopting kids and they're abusing them. Like those New Zealand perverts. They didn't just adopt and abuse this poor kid, they hide him out. People are traveling from around the world to abuse this little kid in New Zealand. New Zealand government was like, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Like those three monkeys, they just, because when homosexuals do it, it's not a crime. And they've got their politically correct, protected class. In Britain, a scandal came out that over a 25-year period, 1 million girls and boys in England were abused, groomed and raped by Muslim gangs, although they called them Asian gangs, but they're Muslims. But instead of saying Muslim, they need to use the word broader. So Asian, even though many came from North Africa too, but don't worry about that. They couldn't say Middle Eastern, they couldn't say Arab or Muslim, so they just said Asian grooming gangs. And the British police, Scotland Yard, the Child Protection Service of Britain did nothing for 25 years because they didn't want to be called racist. And so they allowed 1 million children in Britain to be abused over a 25-year period. Multiple rapes. Some of these girls and little boys reporting the crime to Child Protection Service, to the police, to Scotland Yard, wouldn't touch it. Rather have 1 million kids raped and abused and tormented, then have somebody suggest that maybe your police force is racist because it prosecuted a Muslim for grooming gang. So the hypocrisy of the left is huge. Any other comments, observations?
One other thing. I wonder how involved the political parties and the authorities are in pedophilia and all of that, because I've heard some...
Okay, huge, huge story there, because you remember Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Epstein, on his pedophile island and his pedo one private airline, he had people from Bill Clinton and all the great Hollywood greats and a whole lot of Hollywood names that you'd immediately recognize, all the way through to Prince Andrew, pouring in there, and Oprah Winfrey, regular guests coming in, and there was no doubt there was a vast amount of pedophilia, child abuse, and probably even human sacrifice on the island too. It's this real hideous occultic temple set up there. So the belief is that the vast majority of the top leadership in top governments around the world, in the UN and Hollywood, are involved in this. Bohemian Grove, Council of Foreign Relations, Illuminati, Sabbateans, the whole deal. And that's why they protect them, because they're running the show. And I might be able to give an expose on the gay mafia that's running the Vatican, which is another story entirely. Any other comments or questions? Yes?
Am I right in saying that the gay pride and the homosexuals and stuff, is that returning back to the occult in a way? Because it seems like Joseph DiMaggio was burned for that. They were doing child sacrifice, they were doing all these wickedness, and they got burned. And it seems like our culture is returning to that, and at least
yes.
The West is people now talking about going back, reading stars is becoming very popular, you're getting a whole lot of this weirdness coming in. Is that part of this?
I believe so. Yes. So that's the Sabbatane movement, which is another story we'll get to. But you can see how there is this occultic core of resistance and rebellion to God. And there's a strong homosexual element, there's a strong occultic element, and then there's the drug element. Now, not every drug addict is occultic, not every occultic person is a drug addict, not everyone involved in pedophilia is involved in occult, but the overlap is huge. There's a massive overlap, so that you'll get most of the pedophiles are also involved in occult. And you can see there's a very strong anti-Christian bias. And part of the reason is this. If you worship the God of the Bible, the Christian God, well, he's down on things like perversion. And he requires faithfulness, chastity, morality. All these things are pretty basic, loving your neighbor and so on. So if you are deciding to break God's laws, at a certain point, you either got to repent and submit to God, or you're going to turn anti-God. And so all of our hearts are sinful and depraved, and we all can do some wicked things. But when you get to that point of breaking the laws to that extent, there starts to be a hostility to God, and then occultism has an opening. So we can all give the devil a toehold or foothold, but some people have given him a stronghold and a stranglehold. And Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, those people show just the depth to which these characters can go. And they've attracted a lot of world leaders into them, which is why you can just see this anti-Christian prejudice all over the world. I mean, what else can explain the policies of a Justin Trudeau and a Vladimir Zelensky and these other corrupt, and who's this Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand? These people are so anti-Christian. They're so against any kind of freedoms at all. It's insane. Mark Rutte, Prime Minister of Netherlands, who's trying to euthanize more than half the cattle, close down most of the farms, put most of the farmers out of work, destroy the biggest business in the Netherlands, all in the name of climate change. And yet the Netherlands has the largest, absolutely the largest export industry, second to America, in exporting food. So they're the second largest exporter of agricultural products. And there, their prime minister is trying to destroy agriculture in Netherlands. When I say, what are you going to do with all these farms you're shutting down? He says, build low-cost housing for immigrants. And how are you going to feed those immigrants if you're closing down the farms? It's just insane. Some of the best farmers on the planet are in the Netherlands. They've, in a very tiny country, they've got some of the most advanced agricultural techniques. Why would you want to kill $100 billion a year industry, which is exports of Netherlands farmers? And that Mark Rutte's view, why would he do that again? These people have an occultic view. And I think when you get to understand where many of these leaders are, they're not just well-meaning people who are stupid. Many of them are actually very intelligent, but very evil. And they're doing this deliberately. And you say, why would they be doing policies that are destroying their own economy, destroying their own fuel, destroying their own agricultural self-sufficiency? Why would they do policies that's going to lead to mass starvation and more people dying? Well, you've got to understand their heart. When you understand their motivations, it's not that puzzling at all. These people are not stupid. These people are evil, basically. And the Harvey Weinsteins, Jeffrey Epstein's have proved that. Suddenly you see, like virtually the majority of Congress and so on were moving in Jeffrey Epstein's circles, visiting his paedophile island. Most of the top people in Hollywood. And what does that tell us?